Hello and welcome back to the Feel Better Faster Breakup Podcast. My name is Leon Schatz and I am here to discuss all the things that I have learned about the ways of the breakup. Yes, it's true. I actually took notes and I learned some things. I made some mistakes, but I also did some things right, and I'm here to share them all. So here we go with a really interesting piece of the puzzle. You know, I've been focused so much on the heartbreak side of things, but I want to just talk about the practicalities of a breakup. You know, the shared stuff that, like, we intermingle our lives and we've got all these things that we accumulate, and it's just all of a sudden now we have to divvy it all up and figure it out. And so I've got a list of tips that I think can be really helpful for you, just some things to think about, maybe even some ideas that are something, you know, I didn't anticipate. Like, then there were certain things I actually didn't do. I forgot until it was like, oh crap, I needed to do that, you know. And there's, you know, like even just changing your mail address, all those sorts of things. But so let's dive into it. And I want to start with first just reminding everybody from a couple quotes that I found that I really like. And one of them is that progress is not made from destroying the past, but from building the future. And that's such a key, important piece for us to keep that in our hearts, keep it in our minds as we move forward through this process. And then also just looking at the fact that disentangling is challenging, but it's also an opportunity to cleanse and rediscover yourself, your style, and the way you like to exist that satisfies your optimal self. So unfortunately, a lot of times this becomes a part of the journey for one or both of the parties to throw in, you know, one last attempt at a power play or to try to dominate some kind of power over the other person by controlling this piece, especially if we feel that it's slipping away and out of our control, and it's like, and this is, you know, something that is tearing us up. It's like we try to use this as a tool for manipulation and control, and it really has a potential to become this weird game of winning something over that other person. And sometimes it's just a thing that we think the other person really wants, so we latch onto it. And it's so important to recognize that, you know, if our partner is doing that to us, so that we can realize what kind of battle this might become for us, and also, you know, be willing to say, you know what, it's not worth having somebody have that power over me for some item that I want, but it's just not worth it to have that kind of stress in my life. And it's also important for us to recognize if we're doing it, because that's where we can really control. You know, we can really say, wow, I don't need to try to hurt this person by hanging on to some item that I know he or she wants. You know, I can actually recognize what are my ultimate end game goals, like, and how can I best move forward. And I don't need to, and so you, like, you get to a place where you can let go of some of those things that you thought you wanted, but only because it was you trying to hang on to some power. And it ultimately will never make us feel good to hurt someone else. So we just need to remember that it's hard enough emotionally, but disputing over the stuff can just really prolong the pains of heartbreak. And it puts us back in the boxing ring that nobody wins. And so we just have to be careful with it as we tread forward. And there really are some ways that can help us get there. So the difficulty depends on how agreeable you and your former partner want to be and can be and are capable of being. So just remember that it doesn't have to be a huge mess, this part, especially if you have some guidance and some ideas and some tips that can help you through it. So without further ado, let's get started with the first biggest, most important piece of this whole puzzle is just to remember to have good communication. This is so imperative. You know, it's really the key to everything. And obviously when you're going through a breakup, you're at this really, really dysfunctional place of communication. And it's an easy thing in concept, an insanely difficult thing to actually make happen. But here are a couple tips that can help you be clear about the communication you're having during a time where you're working with a partner who isn't necessarily wanting to work with you. So first thing you can do to help this situation is be clear about your intentions and your agenda for those times that you do communicate, and try to limit the communication times to actual necessary times where you need to discuss some things that to help, you know, that process of divvying up the goods or whatever it is, you know, that you have, or if it's some kind of like establishing care for something or taking care of an issue that has to be resolved by both of you. Just keep that agenda clear and really, you know, this is another place where it can be so difficult if one of you wasn't really ready to move on. This can be, it's so painful for that person because they might walk into it with the idea that like, okay, if I give in to whatever this person wants, maybe they'll take me back, kind of. And it's so there's a lot of these kinds of things to just be aware of. And also just that's where being clear with your intentions. If you're the one who's like, no, it's time, it really is time to move on, I care about you, but we got to move on, kind of a thing. You know, it's just important to do that. And also remember that this was once somebody that you cared for. And if you're the one who isn't ready to move on, know that, you know, this is hard for them too. This is somebody you did care for. And it's even more importantly than all of that is that these are ideas that can, and good communication, this part of it is something that can really make this process as easy as possible for you. And it will allow you to heal. So if you can let go of this opportunity to manipulate, and also recognize that you may have somebody who's trying to manipulate you, and just use this as an opportunity to move forward. In my particular situation, I took the things that were, you know, we lived together. We were in a house that, it's kind of a messy story of the house we lived in was actually my grandmother's house. And so we had a lot of furniture, and, you know, she had the, through a weird turn of events situation, ultimately she owned the house legally at that point. And so I basically had to just say, I have to just be done and leave in order to heal. So I took the bare essentials of what was mine and what had been my grandmother's, and just said, you know what, I'm not going to fight you on anything. Just, but that's, you know, that can be good. But then in hindsight, you know, you look at it and you're like, well, you know, at what point do you, so, you know, look at it realistically for your situation. Like where are you at with your healing process, and let that determine how much you're up for a fight. So another tip on communicating when you get into that situation, really do what you can to avoid rehashing the past. Just try to focus on the present practical task at hand. If you guys have something where it's like you're discussing joint finances or whatever, or what to do with the couch that you both bought, you know, really try to stay focused on what's a good solution, and try to, try to keep your emotions out of it, and just say, you know what, this is one of those things we need to do so that we can move forward. But also when you get into that situation of communication, try to recognize any derailment and red flags of communication breakdown, so that you can really just you know, not spiral downward into some of the things that probably led to your breakup or your divorce or whatever the case may be. So really look for those and recognize them. And if it starts going in that direction where something's getting emotionally charged, just offer, say, you know, I want to pick this conversation up later, but I need to, I've got some things to take care of, whatever it is, you know, and then say, let's visit this a little later. Just give that time and respect that space that it needs, and recognize that you're walking into the inferno whenever you do this, the potential inferno. So if you feel it coming, respect it, respect yourself, respect the process, and just take a little time out. Another thing to really think about is what's important. You know, you need to prioritize and streamline. So if you've got something that you guys are discussing, as far as like you're setting up this meeting to discuss something, and all of a sudden you're discussing some, you know, like $10 rug that really, like, you're just beating around the bush of some other frustration from the past. You know, it's like you have enough things that you need to discuss in that practical manner that you got to prioritize and streamline and try to be efficient. There's a lot of new work to do. You both have now twice as much responsibility as you did before, because you were sharing in all this responsibility before. And there are certain tasks that really need to be done to sever those ties. And so a little tip on how to do that is to make a list and number it in importance. So if you've got things like home care, housing, survival needs, child care, if you guys have a kid together, financial concerns, living arrangements, vehicles, any of those things that are like pressing, real, just like we need to actually get these things taken care of before a deadline, like prioritize that and really say, let's you know, recognize and respect the urgency of things that need to be done soon. And then try to stay objective again, and just as much as you can, try to keep emotion out of your ambitions with these conversations. And I know this is totally just one of those, it's like this episode is really just nuts and bolts. Like, it, I'm trying to even keep emotion out of the way I'm, you know, talking about it, because I feel like it's just so important to just look at it as these are the practical things. Like, in no matter how hard you're hurting, these are just some of the things that need to be done. And they're the difficulty is just compounded exponentially if we sabotage our own efforts to get these things done. And so, and it's actually, it can be kind of a nice way to take a time out from our emotions to focus on, okay, well, this is a practical thing that needs to be done. So right now I'm not going to be emotional. So I don't know if that can work for you. Maybe it will. I hope it does. Along those same lines, on a personal level, be sure that you also look at this and recognize that this is an opportunity. Like, and always remind yourself as you're going through this process, just remember, this is a new beginning. This is a powerful new beginning. And as daunting and as scary as it might be, it is an opportunity for you to assess the way that you've been living your life and to really think about the things that you've always wanted in your life but couldn't do in that relationship or couldn't do in any of your past relationships. And this is a chance for you to say, okay, how do I want to, I get to create, you know, something new right now. And so get, like, let yourself get excited about some of the new things that you're going to get to create. And a little later in this episode, we're going to talk about some of the things, you know, tips on future relationships, things that you can do that, you know, I've never done it in a relationship. And I think most people, when they're getting into a relationship, they don't start thinking about it from the terms of like, oh, well, when we break up, I want to make sure certain things are in place. But, you know, it's definitely something to think about and to just think about it realistically. Because as we're in that love place, we don't want to even, and we can't comprehend it. Like, I mean, I'm sure this is the same for everyone out there, but I could not comprehend the idea that me and my ex would not be together. It just didn't even make sense. I was like, there's no need for any of that. Like, I just can't imagine that. But here we are, and it happens, and it's not something you aim for, and hopefully you never need it. But if you have a couple of things that you guys can agree on before you get to that place, when you guys are actually communicating effectively, it can really, really be a helpful tool in that realm. So that's that little bit about recognize the opportunity of where you are at this point. And another thing to think about is don't try to do everything at once. Like, just take things one at a time. Like, whatever, like with that priority list, take those things and say, okay, let's focus on this. And another thing that I really recommend is focus on some easy successes first. If it's something obvious, like if you know there are certain couple divisions of things that you're going to have to go through with your ex, like get some victories under your belt right away. Say, you know what? Yeah, I definitely know that, you know, the sewing machine that I paid for, that I gave to you as a gift, like that's obviously going to stay with you because it was a gift kind of thing. Whatever it is for you that's like, okay, this is a no-brainer. Let's just, you know, establish that partnership right away and focus on some of your short-term necessities first, and then, you know, tackle a priority and then figure out your next step in that, your next action towards making progress. And remember, just you don't have to do it all right this second, and it's literally impossible to do so, especially within the confines of a partnership that just dissolved. There's so many things floating around. You just want to set yourself up for as much success and as much chance for success as possible. So another thing for healthy communication is just keep making time for your emotional healing and try to go into these areas of communication with as positive of energy as you can. Like if you are in a place where you're upset and hurting anyway, your chances for a successful encounter with that person are probably diminished in huge ways. And then also listen to yourself. And if these encounters that you're having where you're trying to communicate with somebody and it's destroying you inside, you need to recognize that and don't force it. You've got to find some other ways to take care of these logistics. And just really remember your support systems. And so, at this point, it's just, you know, I've said it in other episodes, but it's so important for you to have those people that you can reach out to. And this is so essential at this point to have your support team. And I just identify truthfully the practical matter that you believe will be difficult. And if you need to, use a mediator. Meditate too, but that's a different topic. But use a mediator. And whether it's a professional of some kind or a mutual friend, like maybe that's a tool that, like, if you need to have this conversation, you can just find a mutual friend who can just, you know, say, hey, yeah, I'll be there while you guys discuss who gets what kind of a thing. It can really help you from spiraling into those, you know, those old habits, those old fights. This is, you know, something I would highly recommend also, if you're going into these communications, be sober. I see that, you know, there's so much potential. If you are like, yeah, let's have a couple drinks and discuss this, there's potential for, you know, the emotion to overtake that situation. And so I recommend be sober, be alert, be there with an intention, clear intention. But I do want to talk about mediators, because this is something where it's so difficult. And if you're going through a divorce, sometimes like you need that person who is a mediator and even a professional mediator. So and this can just allow you to, you know, to find those common find those common ground objectives, like the things that you both want. And so something to know about a mediator, like there are divorce mediators and all different kinds that you can look for. If it's, you know, even for a breakup, if you guys had property, if you had things that you need that person there, it can really be a really cool out of court dispute resolution tool that'll help you settle your differences sensibly and you know, hopefully without even having to involve the legal system, which, you know, that's, to me, I think it's such a financially straining time anyway. If you can, you know, if you can afford a little bit of mediation to avoid any kind of getting lawyers involved kinds of things. And yeah, there's just so, I mean, everything, and then cherish that if you don't have to go to that place, cherish that, because it just, it prolongs the whole, like, that's all, always my end game is feeling better faster. So if we can, you know, if we can get through this part, the logistics quickly to where it's like, okay, now it's my time to heal. And I don't have to constantly be bombarded with seeing that person who hurt me, or I'm feeling hurt from, you know, I don't want to even give an ex that much power that they hurt me. It's just, you know, basically if that person, I allowed myself to be hurt because of the relationship that I had expectations that weren't met. You know, I like to even just verbalize it in that kind of a way. But anyway, those mediators can really help, and it can provide a structured process that minimizes the defensiveness and friction that can be present during those times of, you know, those conversations where you're trying to figure out who gets what. And it does this by just creating a non-confrontational atmosphere that encourages people to really put their best foot forward to come to a consensual conclusion that both parties can agree to. And so, yeah, if you're in that kind of a place where you're not sure that it can work, I definitely recommend find somebody who can help you out. And you know, it's like, I also, yeah, it's really nice to find somebody who's impartial. And it can be, I mean, it's a high stress thing. If you have a mutual friend that is trying to do this for you, it can be really unfair to that mutual friend because they've got, I don't know, they don't want to be put in the middle of your world, especially if they want to maintain their friendship with both of you. It's a tricky place. And then if your mediations go bad, then all of a sudden both of you are mad at that friend. So it's worth looking into mediators, and it's easy enough to do a Google search and find a mediator in your area, somebody who can potentially help you with that. And I would recommend interviewing a mediator so that you've got, you know, get a feel for them. And if, you know, if you get a vibe where you're like, yeah, this person isn't for me, like, respect that. And, you know, try to, I can see it now. It's already the, element of, you can't even agree on a mediator, like, but this is the reality of this world. I hope that's not your situation, but yeah, I think, yeah, it could, that's all the more reason to definitely look at a mediator if you're in that kind of a world. All right, so that's the nuts and bolts on communication, just trying to, like, get to that place where you guys can actually communicate, and then you can move forward on how to divvy up the stuff. And again, like I mentioned, for me, I was just like, I don't care about the stuff. I just need, like, I couldn't care. I was at a place of hurting so badly that, like, I was in survival mode. Like, stuff didn't mean anything. I was just trying to not break into a billion pieces. So, here's some ideas on dealing with the actual possessions. So here's some tips. I've done a bunch of research on this and looked at some different ideas, and here's some of the best ones that I found out there. I like, number one, to make a list of all your shared belongings. So, you know, it's like, just to, you know, if you guys are at that place of communicating and you're doing great, that's awesome. You know, what's mine is mine, that's awesome. And if you guys can come to an agreement on that kind of a thing, and then put everything else into a list of, here are our shared belongings. And then, yeah, you basically then, you know, you can evaluate, we got this together. It was a joint purchase. And we both used it frequently, you know, think about those kinds of things. And then you can as you come to a conclusion, you can cross it off the list. And if there are certain things that you're like, oh, we didn't come to a conclusion, you don't need to hash that battle out right then. You can say, okay, let's come back to that and discuss it later. But it allows you to just move forward with that person and establish some successes. But then you can really just clearly say, okay, this is mine, this is yours, and these are things we still need to discuss. And then, one tip was to agree to give items that you both love to the person who used that item the most. So if it's something that you both had and liked, whether it's the TV or the, I don't know, maybe you had a drum set. But whoever used it the most, maybe, try to say, okay, cool, you should take that. And if it's like cooking kinds of things, if you cooked more than the other person, then potentially, and you love the dishes that you had, like potentially that should be you who gets the cookware. And hopefully, the person you're working with can also kind of respect that and recognize that. And you can kind of have that balance of who gets what as you go. And if you both cook the same amount, you can try to split things up as evenly as possible. And it's one of those things, hopefully you and that person can find a methodology to work through on those things. And some of those things are going to be simple, and some of them will be a little bit more challenging. For example, like if you're dealing with pets, that's one of those things where both people have a bond with that pet. And so one of the pieces of advice I found in researching for this one was that if someone was in charge of the majority of the care for any shared animal, then the one who's doing most of the labor should get to keep the pet. And on top of that, whoever can give the pet the best care and the most attention, if your ex has a more flexible schedule and can really just take care of that pet better, then as hard as it may be, it's really the right thing to do, and you should put your pet first, kind of a thing. And so... But then there are other items too where you're just going to have certain things where you can't agree. And maybe it's, like a couch that you guys both picked out together, and it was quite a bit of money. And so here are a couple tips on what to do on those kinds of things. One of them is if you can't agree, you have the option to sell. You can sell those things and take the money and split that up evenly. So that's kind of a nice way to take care of those sorts of things. Or potentially you can give those items away, but then just know that both of you are going to have to ultimately probably replace those things with wherever you head off into the grand, beautiful future that you're about to create. But what that does is it really allows you to get those items off your list without creating a conflict within you. And it, just prevents you from getting, more pain and jealousy and more issues of conflict within you. And so, I like the idea of, like, if you can sell it, that's great. But I mean, ultimately for me, it all boiled down to if it's going to cause me to just endure more pain than I'm already feeling, I don't care. I'd rather deal with it in the fact of I'm going to buy new stuff when I need new stuff. And it's just not worth the battle to me for a lot of those things. It's not worth the pain. And ultimately, I like the idea of, I don't want to inflict pain. And I didn't want to, even though I was in an immense amount of pain, I didn't want to make that situation more painful for her than it needed to be. I'm sure it was very difficult for her in all of her own ways. And I just didn't want to make things difficult because of stuff. You know, it's just stuff ultimately. But speaking of stuff, there are sentimental items that's a tricky one as well. So what do you do with those things that you're both sentimental about? You know, it's like you both really love that, you know, and like it could be some like picture that you bought when you guys were on vacation in Mexico that like there's not like a ton of value, financial value to it, but it's just something you both loved. You both you know, yeah, just both have that bond with. And it's like these are some of the hardest items to divide. And so there's, you know, a couple different options on that is to just really, you know, put those all into one list and then try to split the list evenly to where it's like, okay, these are things that we both feel sentimental about. So let's, you know, what's, you know, rate yours and, you know, what's whatever you're feeling like I really, really feel the most about this one. You know, it's like, take turns with that. It's like, okay, you feel the most about that one. I feel the most about this one. Okay. And then you can kind of work down through the priority towards those things that, you know, you're not as passionate about, but you do still feel sentimentally attached to. Things like photos, it's suggested, you know, you can copy those things or scan, take pictures, and then that way both parties have a digital copy. I had to learn this one the hard way, but try not to tear the photos in half so that you're separating you and your ex and then leave only the images of her on her pillow with the other half of the picture torn off. I'm not sure what that did to her, but it was definitely not a kind gesture. And I, you know, unfortunately, I still get to carry around that feeling of guilt that, oh, that wasn't nice. It wasn't cool. And I destroyed something that was actually a really amazing memory of something that we got to do. And it took time to get back to this place. But at the time, I just felt the pain, you know? And so some of those kinds of things, I'm sure, you know, you probably will have those tendencies. But I would encourage you as much as you can to just take a deep breath, imagine yourself in 9 months and think about the idea that that you may want that picture at some point. And that person may want that picture, and it's okay to cherish the memories or, you know, the good things that came out of that relationship. In fact, it's so healthy and happy to like to look at those adventures and say, wow, this really helped me become who I am. And although we're not still going through life together, that person did play a valuable role in my life. So just a little something fun to think about. A couple other things on different kinds of items that, you know, there's clothing kinds of things that, you know, there's advice that items of clothing should be left with the person who the clothing originally belonged to. There's other people that are like, well, possession is 9/10 of the law. If you leave a favorite shirt that person used to own, but you kind of absorbed it and keep it. But ultimately, I didn't want to take any clothing of, you know, there was in fact anything that she had even bought for me, I didn't want that reminder. And I kept a lot of clothes, which I'm so glad I did. I kept that stuff, but I packed it away and I said, you know, at some point maybe. I wasn't about to go out and build a bonfire or anything. So that's kind of the two cents worth on clothes. And like kind of a good rule of thumb for these kinds of things is if you can track it for most items, custody of these things should just go to the actual purchaser. Like if somebody bought the record player and that was, you know, kind of their thing. That's kind of their thing. Even if it was a mutual thing you guys both used and loved, but one of you bought it, it, you know, should go to you. And if it's a gift, it's still a gift. You know, you would want to keep the things that were gifted to you, and you should really want to allow them to do the same. Like, those are, you know, once it's a gift, it's a gift. And then if you guys, you know, split the cost on really expensive items, again, it's kind of a good, good reminder that you can sell it, you can split the cash. You know, one of you could even buy the other out. You could play rock, paper, scissors. You know, compromise, though, is really, it's a tricky place to maneuver, but compromise and really not trying to think, I'm going to win this competition. I'm going to win the breakup. Like when you get that mentality, it just, and when your ex gets that mentality, it just escalates and it becomes just a messy thing that really ultimately prolongs the pain. And that's not what we're about. We are about feeling better faster. So, and then this is just one more reminder that like a mediator can really be a powerful tool if you're having a difficult time just discussing these options rationally. And it just, you know, you got some of those kinds of options. So, but again, I want you to just remember, be fair to yourself and be fair to your ex. And know that just no one wins when you're getting into that game of walking out with the most stuff. So that's all like tangible physical stuff. So then there's this other magic realm of the intangibles. So how do you deal with those sorts of things? This is like, this was a tough piece for me, just like the favorite restaurant or, you know, the place to go hang out, the favorite haunts, the thing, you know. And it's like, especially if you're in a small town like I was, where it's just this like, you're constantly going to run into that person. And so how do you like divvy up that? And then how do you divvy up your friends? You know, it's like, so here's just a couple good guidelines that, you know, and again, these are all just ideas, take them, use them if they work for you. So yeah, divvying up the friends, that's kind of a funny idea, but logic says that, you know, the friends you had before you guys got together, you know, should be the friends that come away with you, but there will always be those friends that you made while you guys were together, and even the friends of your ex that you became close with, like, it's kind of a hard thing, because all of a sudden, you're like, you know, it's going to be hard to maybe say goodbye to some of those, and some that you feel like became your really good mutual friend, and some that happened while like you developed a friendship as a group, you know, like, but you know, it's, so here's a little cool piece of advice that I found on that. If it's somebody that really is, you know, it's your friend, but it's your ex's friend originally, but you'd like to potentially maintain a relationship with them, a really nice way to approach that is to say, to just let them know that you'd love for them to still be in their life. And even if you know and understand, obviously you are friends with my ex, and that's great. I support that. But I just want to, make sure that if you'd like to maintain a friendship with me, you know, I wouldn't want to put you in a weird spot by asking about my ex or bad mouthing him or her, you know, and just, like putting that out there can really, it can lead and result to a maintained friendship, you know, and it's hard going through a breakup and knowing that you also just lost half your friends. If you guys have been together for a long time, that's usually how it goes. And so that's a pretty classy way to deal with some of those issues with friends that may or may not go there. But along those same lines, I'm sure other people have gone through this as well, but I was shocked at some of the people who I realized were only tolerating me because of her. Like, it was really interesting to see. And then there's others that, you know, you actually develop a way closer relationship with too. And so that's something to think about, the divvying up of the friends. But ultimately, when it gets right down to it, that's going to be up to that person. And you can just let that one go in some ways. You don't have to deal with that and try to like negotiate that with your ex, because it will really ultimately have nothing to do with your ex at that point. So how do you deal with the shared places, like the places that you guys used to go, whether it's, you know, the gym or some, you know, open mic night or trivia night at some, you know, or a concert venue or grocery stores even, or whatever it is. And so how do you deal with that sort of thing? The best advice on that is, you probably, especially if you're in a small town or small circle, and if you don't move far from where you were, you know, you're probably going to have those encounters. And it would be ideal if you can coexist in the same building in a group of people without having that. And it takes a little time, but you know, you shouldn't have to, don't plant that seed in your head that you have to give up all the places you used to love, because then you're creating more pain than you need. And I really feel that you can still keep going to those places. You can but adjust your schedule, and it's really, to me, it becomes an opportunity to find a new favorite venue, find new places that you can not have to go in there and be tortured by the memory of the fun things that you did when you were, you know, with that person at that location. So, but at the same time, don't feel obligated that you have to give up the things that you like just because the breakup has come to an end. That's one mistake that I think a lot of us make in breakups, is we have a tendency to really like paint the picture as way more bleak than it actually is. We're not losing as much as we feel like we are when it's happening. And if we can remind ourselves of that, it can really just ease some of that pain and get us to where we don't have to go down all the way to the bottom where we have this all is lost kind of mentality. We can, just be kind to ourselves as we're going through it and recognize, you know, we are losing a relationship, but we're maintaining a ton of beautiful things about ourselves. Man, I'm powering through this. I hope you guys are taking good notes, because there's a ton of good things in here. And and it's all, you know, it's logistics. It's interesting logistical topics that, unfortunately, you got to go through it. And you guys, we are in for a treat right now, because we are going to talk about the probably the big factor, and that is money. Money, man, is the one that, like, it really is the thing that probably can have a big impact on what leads to the breakup in the first place. But then all of a sudden we're put in this situation of, now we are, everything costs more because we're not splitting expenses. We're not doing this. We're not doing that. And it's like our whole sense of like survival is threatened because we're like worried about our financial well-being, and it costs money to move. It costs money to do this, that, and the other. And if we're broke to begin with, you know, or just barely scraping by, this can just be a really stressful piece of the puzzle. So I really hope some of these tips can help you out as well. Just different ways to like look at it, take it for what, you know, what can serve you. Man, it really is expensive. I managed to lose lots of money through the process without even really, like, I feel very fortunate, but it's just like all of a sudden everything costs more. You've got more bills, you've got, and for me personally, I was working for myself and I just couldn't work. I could not get motivated to get any work done. And so I wasn't making money. I was spending money. I had just expenses that were now all my own. And it took a little bit to get there. And so hopefully some of these things can kind of help you avoid those pitfalls and then also be excited about it, because it's an empowering thing to get yourself to a place where, like, okay, cool, I got this. And I can do this. If I need to, I know I can take care of myself, and financially I don't have to be dependent on that person. And I've got friends who are in marriages that they're going to stay in because financially they can't afford to not. And they're miserable, but it's too scary to face the idea of financially getting out there and being responsible for your own finances. So, but you know what? I've got other friends who have gone through it, and they went through the tough challenges and they did it. They came out the other side and they're taking care of themselves, and they're actually, like, they learned some things about themselves, and it was really, you know, for them, it was an empowering experience as well to be able to say, I can take care of myself if I have to, you know. And it's like, it's just, yeah, it's one of those things, though. Finance can always trip us up a little bit. So here are a few tips on how to navigate a breakup and emerge without depleting your finances. So how do you deal with that shared living space? You know, if you were renting a place, here are a couple options to deal with that. You know, the ideal thing is, you know, for potentially both of you to vacate that place. And then if you have to sublet the apartment, you know, you can split that rent and have income coming that way to help financially. But that, you know, again, you're creating a tie to that person, which you may or may not want to do. It's important too. Like, there's a school of thought, if it was your place that the other person moved into, then potentially, you know, the school of thought is, the last one in is the first one out. And so, like, it's your place. And that person should move out. Or you should move out if you moved into their place, kind of a thing. But either way, when you're going through that process, you want to really make sure that if your name was on the utilities and you're the one who's like, you know what, I'm moving out, just make sure that you clean that paper trail to where there's not potentially something out there that you may be on the hook for later. You know, all the bills, and that goes, you know, into so many realms of the bills, like, all the lease, you know, you want to make sure your name's not on the lease anymore. And just, you know, if you're going to make a clean severed break, you want to just really respect that there were a lot of things that you had become entangled in, and this is the part where you should entangle. So if you own a place together, that's another kind of a situation where it's like, okay, just, you know, you just up the ante. It's like, it's bigger, it's more. And so then you've got to decide, you know, do you sell it and split the proceeds, or, you know, is one person going to buy the other out? And if they are, they even available, can they refinance at that time? So that adds a whole other thing. And there can be situations where it's like, well, I'll stay here and I'll just send you money. And if you're going to do any of that kind of thing, just make sure you get a legal contract in place for any kind of those kinds of arrangements. Because, and I've seen this with people where people going through a divorce, they agree to something. They're like, cool, we got a game plan. they both start kind of moving forward, and then one of the people goes and talks to their good friend who's like, hey, you shouldn't have done that. You can do this, that, or that. All of a sudden, they get that in their head. They're renegotiating in their head. The other person is totally still moving forward with the game plan, and then they get blindsided by this whole different idea. And so you just, you know, it's one of those things. If you want to sever these ties, sever the ties. That's the way I look at it. And but if you, you know, if you can find a way to do it where it works out for you, you know, proceed with caution. and just know that, you know, there's potential for, you know, if there becomes a property ownership dispute, you know, you may need to go to courts. And that's another reason to try to get these things in writing if you're going to do any of that. If you've got joint bank accounts, which it's like that's a pretty, you know, risky thing too. If you're just dating or whatever, if you got divorced, joint finance, you know, you have to go, you want to go separate those accounts mutually, collaboratively. You want to go do that together. Like anytime one of you goes and does that without the other, there's just, you don't want to plant seeds of distrust with that other person, you know? And so just as, you know, you wouldn't want them to go do that and say, oh, I closed out our joint bank account. You know, it's like, let's go do this together. So really try to be respectful of those kinds of processes. Anything that you can do that will avoid long-term chaos and pain points, try to get there and do that mutually. But on this, but on the other side of all this, you also want to go through all your accounts, whether it's Netflix, your personal bank accounts, any of that kind of thing, and anything that person may have had. I hate to plant this fear, but it's kind of an important step to change your passwords for those kinds of things. And if there's, you know, something that changes within them, or all of a sudden they get it in their head that you screwed them over in some way, you never know when down the line they're gonna say, oh, okay, well, I know that. You don't know what the future holds, so it's just a good rule of thumb to, at this point, just make sure you're protected. Protect your identity, protect yourself. You know, as far as check all these things. These were some of the things I didn't I didn't know to check right away, and I kind of just learned after time went on. But anything that you've got automatic payments on, and like your Amazon account, any of your just accounts that somehow might be intertwined, you want to get those. Just make sure that it's you. That's using it from then on, and it's easy enough to go change your passwords and take care of that kind of thing. Another thing to take care of, and really this can be, you know, in our culture, this is like one of the big ones, is, but how do you split up your unpaid debts? You know, you've got credit cards or loans that you guys got into together. You know, you have to figure out an effective way to split that up as well, and be fair about it. And it's one of those things, again, if you need a mediator, it's important, but if you can come to some resolution of decide who's responsible for which pieces, and then you know, it's as much as you can refinance that portion of the debt to where the other, you know, with just the one person, to where that other person is no longer responsible for it, you know. And I went to the extreme of like life insurance. I was like, okay, I got to make sure that she's not a beneficiary. Like, it's funny how the things that you know they may benefit from, you are highly aware of all the nice things you did for that person. And like, so it's easy to remember some of those things. But any of that kind of stuff, just look into it. Try to, you know, car loans, that if both your names are on it and one partner can't afford to refinance it, then, you know, maybe you have to sell that car. Maybe that's, you know, and if you can come to some kind of an agreement, just try to get it in writing so that one person isn't later just coming in and saying, hey, that's bullshit. So, man, tons of information on this one. I hope you guys can tell I did some homework, but I wanted to just put this out there. This one, it was a requested topic, and it's kind of, unfortunately, it's just the down and dirty of this piece of life that we occasionally seem to go through. But yeah, anything that might ruin your credit, anything that might, you know, potentially be something that comes back and haunts you, you just want to like take some time to think on those things and make sure you're not setting yourself up for pain in the future. And then, you know, anything, you know, from Facebook, changing your relationship status, and you can totally, you know, if you have a joint account on any social media, you know, you probably want to like shut that down. Facebook though, like there's different options there. You can totally block that person. You know, I personally went through, I unfriended her, but I let her know that I was going to do it out of a courtesy. For some reason, I felt like that would be the nice thing to do, is say, I want you to be, feel free to still use Facebook and not worry that I might be seeing you with your new boyfriend. So I just wanted to extend that. So I, you know, whether or not she accepted that that was a courtesy that I was showing her to just say, hey, feel free, do what you need to do. I'm going to consciously not look at your Facebook because I don't want to see it. Which I highly recommend. It is nothing but pain shopping, to go look at your ex's Facebook. A Netflix account that somebody might piggyback off of, you know, it's like ultimately, yeah, you should just get your own stuff, change passwords. And then, you know, you just don't know. You don't know what the future holds. There could be some identity theft that takes place later on. There could be even just unintentional. They could accidentally, you know, because technology is tricky. They could accidentally charge you for something like they could buy something on Amazon thinking it's their account, and you get sent a bill, and then all of a sudden you're pissed, and it creates this huge fight out of just a simple misunderstanding. So it's just better to prevent it. And then the whole idea of starting over, man, if you can find a way to like look at it with excitement, and you know, you've got some new things to buy financially, it's tricky. But look at it as an opportunity to like find those things that really express you and excite you, to where it's like, if it's a new couch you've got to buy, you're looking at that couch and you get to think, this is the one I wanted. I didn't have to compromise. This is the one that felt good to me. And then another good kind of opportunity right at this point is to just build a budget, like create a budget. And if you haven't been doing a budget in life, this is a great opportunity to just really look at your finances, like income, outflow, and just start looking at what are those things that you really do have to pay for. And when you just look at the numbers, they don't lie, and it allows you that opportunity to you know, figure out like, is your system going to work? Like whatever you're doing, is it working? And if not, it allows you to find areas where you can tweak it. You can increase it. You can look at areas that you might be leaking money. Maybe you've got a Dropbox account that you don't use. You could download those files to your computer and, you know, not have to pay $10 a month or whatever it is. You know, it's like, find those things. This is an opportunity for you to redesign your life to work in the most efficient, productive way that you can think of. So That's one tip for next time. There's just a couple other tips as you're moving forward in hindsight is 2020. It's easy to like look at it and say, oh God, I wish I would have done that. But you can always learn from it, and you can and say, you know what, next relationship, I want to create a couple things that on the off chance, obviously, it's a tricky conversation to have with somebody when your everything is good. It's like, yeah, we're awesome, but as long as we're going into this living together situation and being business partners ultimately, let's establish a few ground rules as we get it going. And you can develop things like, a shared household budget. And then that will kind of allow you to monitor finances and who's putting in what. It's not the most romantic way to get into a next relationship, but it can potentially be something that helps you if and when you get to this place where you are breaking up. And and then even like your living arrangement, if you come up with some agreements on that before you get into it, that can be helpful. And just try to create that exit plan. And it's tricky stuff, 'cause you want to believe, oh, this is going to work, it's going to work. But if you're going to have those great conversations where you're like, well, if this does happen, let's just discuss it and find something that we can both kind of agree to. It's better to do it when you're in love than when you're in fury. So, you can set up, if you guys buy something together, you can have a buyout option. It's never advisable to have a shared joint account if you are not married. You can have there are cohabitation agreements that you can set up ahead of time, which, leaves you, just some ground rules. It's like prenup for dating kind of thing. I don't want to dive too far into that, because I have a feeling if you're going through some of the things that you may be going through, this is not the time to think about that next person. But maybe you are. Maybe you're ready. You're moved on, and you're like, but it might be worth looking at your current situation and just take your own notes. What are some things that you wish you would have had in place? And give yourself that advice, and respect the fact that if you're with somebody that really cares about you and loves you, then they won't be offended by, having that kind of a conversation to where you can develop a conscious relationship of productive growth and love and harmony, and life can treat you well. And I don't know about you guys, but I feel like I have powered through this episode with tons of advice, and it's like lots of good stuff. I hope you're still listening, because I'm about to wrap up. Ultimately, that's the gist of these practical applications of taking care of the functionality of a breakup. The actual like things and the stuff that you have to deal with, just putting the emotion out of it. And just a little last little bit of warning, I would say just really be careful of those friends who hype you up and convince you that you can that you can and that you should screw the other person over. And just really try to remember what's for the highest good. What is the ambition that I can get from this that's where can we take this to where everyone wins? And when you start getting into the idea that this person owes you something for whatever, it's like you're asking for trouble. It's gonna be, it's a fight. It's like a tale as old as time, where people get it in their heads like that they are owed something that ultimately they probably aren't, and they probably it's not even if that person does owe you that, they probably can't. Like the grass is always greener. You see that person And if you see them out having fun, you automatically assume, well, they must have a ton of money. And it's like, on the inside, they're probably, you know, probably not as well off as you think. We always tend to imagine people are doing better than we are. And so ultimately get the details and then just think about what's best for you, but also the situation to where you can just focus on healing instead of trying to screw someone over, you know. And is being able to wound that other person really that important? And I would hope that you come up with the answer that no, it's not. And ultimately, we need to take responsibility for our own happiness. And this is a powerful opportunity to just learn and realize that our happiness doesn't come from that other person. It never did come from that other person. And it comes from within. And we were just under this delusion that that person was providing the happiness to us. But what they were doing was just, they were triggering something in us that was allowing us to feel happy. Like, and we gave them all the power, even though it was really us. Like, we were the one who was feeling that happiness, but we can feel that happiness whether we have another person with us or not. And so that person didn't take our happiness. They didn't, you know, take anything from us. They provided us with a lot of great memories in most cases, you know, like there are a lot of powerful, good memories. And it's hard to see it when you're in that painful place of right after a breakup. But yeah, just remember, you were the one providing that awesome self that you were allowing to emerge when you were with that person. So just let that awesome person continue to shine, and find a way to get to a place of growth and powerful, you know, self happiness. And be kind to yourself through this process. Be patient with yourself. Be patient with your ex, and know that you're going to make mistakes, your ex is going to make mistakes, but just try to maintain that communication and get to that place of, you know, what's the best outcome for this situation from where it is right now? We can't change the past, but what can we do? What choices can I make right now that will help us get to the best place possible? And ultimately, what's the best choice that I can make to help me get to the best possible outcome for whatever this situation is? This situation, it is what it is, but from here forward, I get to make better choices. I get to, you know, create the world that I want to live in. And it takes a little time to get there, but the sooner you start, the sooner you get there. So with all that, I hope you hung in there. There's a ton of stuff in this one. I appreciate you guys listening. I think, the numbers are way up. I was checking the stats on this, and I'm flattered that people are listening to it. And I think, you know, if you're getting something positive from this, I'm so happy. Like, that's the only reason I'm doing it, is just I had great advice from people as I was going through it, and I just am so grateful to them that, you know, I feel fortunate for the people who stepped up and offered me some guidance. So I want to pay it forward a little bit. I hope you guys find what you're looking for and ultimately find that self-love that's going to get you through any endeavor that you have in the future, and use this opportunity to embrace your awesomeness. And in the meantime, I love you. Peace out. Have fun. And we'll see you next time.